So they found cocaine in the White House. Let's talk about it.
Or where they went, they caught 78 known terrorists within the beginning of this year alone.
All right, let's just get right into it. I want to talk about a few things, actually. I want to talk about this substance that they found at the crack house. I'm sorry. I mean, the White House. We want to talk about the substance that they found at the White House. And I want to talk about free speech. Free speech is in the news again. Shouldn't it be in the news? You know, free speech back, you know, when they created the Constitution and, you know, also like the Declaration of Independence, all of that kind of come into play. It kind of comes into play about how we should have free speech in the United States of America. That's one of the reasons why the entire world marvels after the United States of America because of the so-called freedoms that we have. And of course, you have some communists in this country that want to do away with that free speech. Okay, but before we get to those topics, I want to talk about 4th of July. 4th of July was really awesome. I love 4th of July because it reminds me of our independence as of our nation. You know what happened, you know, back in the day. Because of what happened back in the day, Will Johnson has the freedom to be here. Just like you, we have the freedom to go down to the grocery store. We have the freedom to just walk down the park. But, you know, the left, they like to remove that. Various reasons, various ways. Let me share this first thing with you because they're already, and I've talked about this so many times, they're already calling 4th of July racist. They're trying to say that 4th of July is a day of represent of oppression. Which is completely stupid. 4th of July represents the freedoms that we all have in this country, but they're literally trying to reverse it and trying to say that 4th of July represents oppression. You can't make this stuff up. And they're saying it's racist. So you had a lot of leftists right now saying that they refuse to celebrate 4th of July because it represents oppression for them. Listen to what they say here on Fox News about 4th of July.
Fireworks and parades are just some of the festivities taking place throughout Independence Day. But the liberal media is claiming that Americans are struggling to find reasons to celebrate. It's so awful. A new headline from the New York Times, of course, don't you know, reads, "No sparklers for these folks." Quote, "Whether because of crowds, politics, or a loss of patriotism, some Americans are conflicted about celebrating the 4th of July." The Times outlines a New York woman's political qualms with celebrating the holiday. She told the outlet, quote, "Last summer, Roe versus Wade was overturned, and that really made me less inclined to celebrate." The article goes on to say that even if she wanted to celebrate, she would worry about the message it sent. Oh, brother. The Times also cites an Arkansas woman who took issue with fireworks, telling the Times, quote, "It's hard to tell the difference between guns and fireworks. And here there is always something on the news about a shooting or something. So it makes me nervous."
You know, on top of that, you have a lot of leftists right now and say, my dog is barking. My dog is barking. And it's just terrible. It's terrible. I wish they would stop doing it. My dog is barking. Right. I complain about the dogs. And then you have the left. All of a sudden, that's the only time the left ever actually act like they are concerned about vets is during 4th of July. Y'all notice that? That's the only time they are concerned about vets. Other than that, they don't care about vets, right? Military personnel, retired military personnel. Other than that, they don't care about them. But all of a sudden, during 4th of July, they care. So, oh my goodness, they could be suffering from PST, right? PTSD. I'm thinking about TTS. DTDS. That's what I'm thinking about. But anyway, they're screaming, saying that they're suffering and you know, it's causing them to have issues. That's the only time they really care about them. And they really don't care. They just don't want us to celebrate the independence of our nation. They really don't.
They're also bad for the environment. They release a lot of toxic chemicals. And that Arkansas woman, whose name is Malia Tapp, posted this on TikTok. Take a look.
4th of July is coming up, and as a controversial holiday, I would just like to remind everyone that it is okay to not celebrate or to take advantage of the festivities and use it to celebrate something else. I will probably go to a barbecue because...
Now, listen to this barbecue that she's probably going to go to. How racist can you be? How racist can you be? And see, when I lived in Arkansas, I considered myself a Democrat, and this, and I had no idea. I had to move to California to realize that this is how Democrats really are. I had to move to California. Now, listen to what she says, the type of barbecue. Who do y'all think she's going, the type of barbecue? What do y'all think? What do you think? What type of barbecue you think she's going to? What do you think? What do you think?
And use it to celebrate something else. I will probably go to a barbecue because those tend to be hosted by Black family or friends. And I see that as a time to come together and celebrate the fact that we are also still here, despite America trying to get rid of us when they were trying to gain their independence.
What? Who's America trying to get rid of, Shannon?
And why is she saying that they're the only ones that are going to be hosting a barbecue? She's a complete idiot.
Yeah, black people only host barbecues. I mean, that's the first time I've ever heard of that.
You know what?
If you happen to be white, Hispanic, or even Asian, or you know whatever, do y'all don't have barbecues?
You know what? She's a perfect example of this new survey that came out and said that these generations that are coming up right now, this generation, lacks civic knowledge in middle school and up. Literally, they're not proficient. Not proficient, they're below proficiency in knowing our history and where we come from. And they say, listen to this, Will. They say it's because Republicans are banning books. But we know that's not the truth. We know that they are trying to change history. They're trying to change the narrative. And she's a product of that.
Because they're banning books. But then you notice they never talk about the books that they want to get rid of.
Yeah, they're saying they ban history books. It was a ridiculous article.
That's a total lie. That's a total lie. Because they're saying that some of this pornographic stuff, that's history. It's part of history because, you know, it's always been here. So that's the way to try to equate it. That's ridiculous. Okay, let me share something else with you. And I just want to talk about the 4th of July. And I do have something else that I want to share with you with 4th of July, but it's going to be on the other side. Y'all just have to bear with me. Stick around. I'm going to show it to you. I can't show it to you right now. And when I do show it to you, you'll know why I won't show it to you right now. But let's talk about censorship. Let's talk about the First Amendment. So you have a federal judge ruled and said that Joe Biden, the Biden regime, this federal government, they have violated the U.S. Constitution. It is the biggest violation in American history. This is what's coming out of it. The biggest violation in American history, and the radical left, they're angry that this judge is ruling in the favor of the American people via the U.S. Constitution. They're angry about it. I'm like, who in their right mind would be angry about a judge ruling in favor of the American people? Aren't liberals leftists? Aren't they Americans too? Actually, they're communists. And a lot of them will even admit that they're communists. They don't even have any issues. They want to do away with the U.S. Constitution. They hate the Bill of Rights. I just talked about, you know, 4th of July. They hate the Bill of Rights. So, of course, they want to do away with anything that benefits the American people, that allow us to have our freedoms, especially the freedom of speech. They want to get rid of that one, but they have to get rid of the second one because that way people can't defend the first one. But listen to this on Fox News when they're talking about this, because I saw this information. I briefly talked about it last night. When, you know, the whole thing would happen with the crack house. But listen to this.
Just a moment ago, take a look at this. A federal judge says the Biden administration may have violated the First Amendment during the pandemic by censoring social media posts. Justice correspondent David Spun reports live from the D.C. newsroom. David, what can you tell us?
Hi, Jillian. This is a temporary injunction, not a final ruling. However, This temporary injunction could have major implications on free speech. It came down today on a federal holiday from a federal judge in Louisiana. Judge Terry Dottie blocked officials and agencies in the Biden administration from communicating with social media companies, think Facebook, Google, Twitter, about the topic of protected speech. Judge Dottie is based on a prior lawsuit brought by Republican attorneys general in Louisiana and Missouri. He ruled on that. Among other complaints, the attorneys general say the Biden administration overreached its authority during the height of the COVID pandemic when they tried to convince social media companies to address, in some case, take down posts on platforms that could contribute to vaccine hesitancy.
Now, you're hearing this, right? So the federal government went to the big tech companies to get them to censor information. And it is not even that it wasn't even information from people just like Will Johnson or anybody else that never even claimed to be a doctor, but they were actually censoring credible doctors, credible physicians, credible scientists. They were actually censoring them. The federal government went out of their way going to the tech companies to censor information that they didn't want them talking about. And the radical left, they have a problem with the federal, what they have a problem with a federal judge ruling in favor of the American people when it comes to free speech. You can't make this stuff up. If you haven't already, please hit the share button. Please hit the share button, because what I'm going to show you should be alarming to everybody.
Now, according to Judge Dottie, quote, the plaintiffs, meaning the attorneys general, have presented substantial evidence in support of their claims that they were the victims of a far-reaching and widespread censorship campaign. This court finds that they are likely to succeed on the merits of their First Amendment free speech claim against the defendants being the Biden administration. Now the administration, as have administrations in recent years, develop close relationships, Jillian, with social media companies. Sometimes those relationships are hot and cold, depending on the topic, but the administration, also the independent FBI and DOJ, are in frequent contact with these social media companies, especially covering the DOJ. I see it with fentanyl and other types of trafficking. They reach out frequently to these social media companies. We'll have to see how that all plays into the future now that this judge has ruled this injunction. Now, it reached out to DOJ a little while ago. I got an email back, DOJ officially declining to comment. And again, this is not a final ruling, but it's clear the judge is leaning in a specific way. Jillian.
Right. Leaning in the way of the American people. And why is that a problem? Can someone tell me why that is a problem? Shannon, tell me, why is it a problem for a federal judge to lean in the direction of the U.S. Constitution via the American people? Why is that a problem?
Because it goes against what they want to do and what they're doing. I mean, look at the whole Twitter hearings that they had, you know, with Comer, where they totally exposed the government colluding with social media prior to Elon Musk to censor the American people and really to censor the truth that was out there. They just didn't want people to know. And so they don't want to be stopped from doing what they're doing.
Yeah. I don't get it.
And, you know, they said that they were saying that the judges are leaning towards right wing ideology. Well,
we're going to get into that in just a minute.
Okay.
We're going to get into that in just a minute. But I want to share this one first. This is what Karine Jean-Pierre responding to the ruling of this federal judge that ruled in favor of the American people. The judge actually calls out what the Biden regime actually has done, along with the big tech companies. And the issue that they're having with this, the left, the issue the radical left is having with this, is because once this goes completely through and it shows that the federal government violated our First Amendment rights via the proxy of the big tech companies, it's going to create lawsuits like we've never seen before. It's going to create lawsuits. And last night I was saying that, you know, the lawsuit should reach up into the hundreds of billions of dollars and actually should be in the trillions of dollars, because this should never happen again. The tech companies are not in the business or telling people they should not be in the business telling us that we can't have a simple conversation because they disagree. You understand that? And I gave an analogy last night when I was talking about when I was going through a grocery store. You know, I gave, and I'm going to do it really quick. Just imagine you and I, go full screen to me real quick, and then we'll come to her. Imagine you and I going through a grocery store, and we're walking down the aisle, we're having a conversation. We're having a conversation about all this crazy stuff that the radical left is doing. We're not yelling. We're not looking for the speakerphone, you know, the speaker system, the PA system in the grocery store. Don't have megaphones or nothing. We're just having a simple conversation, talking at normal tone. Somebody walked past us and they don't like the fact that we're actually talking about the radical left and all of the demonic stuff that they're doing. So what do? They go find a store manager and they tell the store manager that they don't think what we're saying is appropriate and they don't like it. And then the store manager comes to us and say that you have to leave. You are no longer welcome here. You're banned because the two of you were having a conversation as you're walking down the aisle and somebody heard you. That's what it's become, because that's what it is on social media. Social media is the virtual grocery store, except for the things that are on the shelves. They're memes, they're texts, they're pictures, family trips, videos. That's what's sitting on the shelf in the virtual grocery store. But because you're having a conversation in the virtual grocery store and someone doesn't like it, they want to censor you. They want to ban you. They want to remove you. You understand that? And I've had conversations with constitutional lawyers in the past, and they say, well, you know, it's a private company. They can say what they want to say. Well, now where are they when you have the federal government that got involved with this? The federal government got involved to censor the American people via the proxy of the big tech companies. Now, listen to Karine Jean-Pierre as the press corps actually asked her a question about them censoring the American people. And of course, she's going to be like, well, we don't agree with this ruling. Of course they wouldn't, because they see no problem with censoring the American people. That's not the information that we want people to know. So we'll go to the tech companies and get the tech companies to shut you up. You can't even have a simple conversation about it. Right? Listen.
Thanks, Karine. I wanted to ask about this decision we saw yesterday in Louisiana on the White House contact with social media companies. Does the White House have a response to the judge basically saying that this is the most massive attack on free speech in the U.S. history?
The most massive attack on free speech in U.S. history. That's exactly what it is. The federal government. And you know what? It's like finally about time that the press corps is actually asking these questions. I'm really kind of surprised that they're asking the question, because and you know what? Because they're total radical leftists. But see what they, I guess maybe some of them are starting to realize that, look, if the federal government actually did it with Joe Biden and they continue to do it, what happens when someone like President Trump comes in office where they kept saying he was a dictator and he never did any of this? He never went to the tech companies to have them censor the American people. Right? They were censoring President Trump. They removed the president, the sitting president of the United States. They removed him because they wanted to silence him. So they're okay with silencing people. But now the press is saying this. Look, what happened? First Amendment, freedom of the press. This includes them. They should have been screaming about it when they did it to President Trump. Reverse this. Change it. Turn around. We may not like him, but you're taking us down a path we should not be going. But they didn't do that. They were all happy about it. Now listen to how she responds to this question.
So as you know, DOJ is reviewing the decision, the injunction. And so I don't want to get ahead of what they will evaluate and their options could potentially be. So not going to get ahead of the DOJ. If you're asking me if we agree or disagree, we certainly disagree with this decision.
And of course, they're going to disagree, because they were the ones censoring the American people via the proxy of the big tech companies. Of course. Will we expect them to do otherwise?
And as I said, the DOJ is reviewing this, so I'm not going to get ahead of what their evaluation, what options they're going to potentially take.
Of course, they're not going to get ahead. I mean, they never are. They never do. They never will. Because that's not something they want to act like they want to prevent. They don't want to prevent the federal government from censoring you and I. They don't. So I do have a clip that I want to share with you from the radical left. Of course, I have to share this with you. So you, again, this is my thinking. And I guess my thinking, according to them, is a major problem. My thinking is that we are supposed to be all Americans, and we should fight for the right for all of us to have free speech, right? Isn't that like part of equality? Or maybe am I getting that wrong, right? Isn't that what it's supposed to be about? That we're all supposed to be able to live the American dream, to pursue happiness, and not to have the federal government hinder us from doing it? But listen to them on the Communist News Network as they say otherwise. They're angry with this federal judge because the federal judge sided with the American people.
Yes, this is a Trump-appointed judge, but this judge was confirmed 98-0 by the Senate. Just reading the words in this injunction, a, quote, massive effort by the defendants to suppress speech based on content. Those are the judge's words, calling the present case, quote, arguably involves the most massive attack against free speech in the United States history, Ellie.
Yeah.
Now, y'all see how she expressed that? You see how she expressed that? And she's not saying it because it's true. She's saying it like, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. Look at her expression. Leave a split screen just for a little bit here. Look at her expression. Watch.
It's the most massive attack against free speech in the United States history, Ellie.
Yeah.
In the United States history. The most massive attack on free speech in American history. Like, this is ridiculous for this judge to actually say this. We know that they were doing it, but it's ridiculous for this judge to acknowledge it. See, this is just, they're upset because most judges, and I'm not going to get into complete detail, a lot of the judges, they cowered down to the left and allowed the left to have everything that they want. And now you actually have a judge standing up for the U.S. Constitution, doing the right thing. They're like, what is going on here? How dare this judge do the right thing? Maybe this judge is finally stepping up, doing the right thing by the American people because they saw what the Supreme Court just did. The Supreme Court ruled in favor of the American people. So now they're upset because another judge just did the same thing.
It's a dramatic decision by this judge. If you read through it, he's citing to literature and George Washington and Ben Franklin. Here's what really is astonishing to me. This is a conservative ideology that clearly comes through in this decision. It's a conservative political ideology, right? We saw some of the quotes questioning vaccines, questioning.
Now, let me stop it there real quick. He's talking about a conservative ideology. You know what he's essentially saying? The conservative ideology adheres to the U.S. Constitution. He's literally saying that. Listen to him. This is exactly what he is saying. He's not saying him in those words, but if y'all pay attention, he's literally saying that the conservative movement, the conservative ideology aligns with the U.S. Constitution, and we don't. Because the radical left, they hate the U.S. Constitution. Listen to what he's saying. It's not just me. Listen.
Astonishing to me. This is a conservative ideology that clearly comes through in this decision. It's a conservative political ideology, right? We saw some of the quotes questioning vaccines, questioning masks, conservative talking points. But the ruling itself is the opposite of judicial conservatism. This is one of the most aggressive, far-reaching rulings you'll ever see. What this judge is purporting to do is to micromanage, really, the day-to-day interactions between essentially the entire executive branch, all these agencies that are listed as defendants, and the leading social media companies. And
I mean, really? Really? This is so disgusting. He's saying the judge is wanting to micromanage the communications between the executive branch, the Biden regime, and the big tech companies. They shouldn't even be talking to them about censoring the American people. Now, if you're talking about national security, if you're talking about
China
wanting to use like a company like TikTok and infiltrate government buildings, government electronics, that's a different story. But you're talking about the federal government hindering you, the American people, for having a conversation about something. Not that you're calling for a revoke. Not that you're calling for violence. Not that you're calling for people to just do crazy stuff. You're simply having a conversation. You simply voice your opinion about something. They want to shut that down. How many of you know exactly what I'm talking about? How many of you were just, okay, let me put it this way. How many of you claim to be a doctor? I never claimed to be a doctor. I never claimed to be a doctor. Never have. I'm not Dr. Johnson. I'm not a doctor. I'm not. But they try to say that I claim to be one, which is a total lie. But, and because you talk about what they don't want you to talk about, unless you're in agreement with them, you understand that? You can't be in disagreement with them. The only way you can be on a platform and talk about it is if you're in agreement with them. But if you have a disagreement and you're having a simple conversation about whatever it is, they will go out of their way to hurt you, harm you, remove you, deplatform you, censor you, whatever it is that they can do to silence you. And he's upset because we don't want the executive branch going to the big tech companies to hinder free speech. Free speech starts at the very beginning of you hearing something and you don't like. You understand that? That's what free speech is. It starts when you hear something you don't like. They get to say it because it's free speech. But see, the radical left, oh my goodness, that's hurt. And they say it's hate speech and it's hurtful. It's harmful because it's hateful and harmful to their ears. They're thinking, oh my goodness, how dare you think for yourself like this?
In the actual temporary injunction, the judge basically says, you're not allowed, administration, to talk to these social media companies about any protected free speech except for cybersecurity threats, okay, national security, okay, threats, criminal threats. But where's the line?
Okay, right. I mean, so, right. Like I was saying, national security threats. Okay. Get that information. You got terrorists on social media wanting to plot stuff against the United States of America. Hand that information over to the authorities. I have no issues with that. But you have the American people just simply having a conversation about something and they want to block that, censor that. Come on. Because it's something that they don't want us to talk about. It's because they are the government state media. And the government state media, they want to control what we say and what we think. Get it off the screen. Get off the screen because he just rambles on about the same thing. All right, let me change it up real quick. Can we put the comments on the screen real quick? And I want to ask a quick question here. Oh, what's that? It's a rumble rant. Wow. Thank you so much for that. Thank you so much for that blessing. Look, let me ask y'all a question. I want to talk about the crack house. Can we talk about the crack house? So, and I mentioned this last night too. When I went to the White House, when President Trump was in office, I went twice. I was honored and privileged to be able to go to the White House twice when President Trump was there. And both times that I went to the White House, and you know, I thought about it, I should have got some of the pictures of me being in there. President Trump, I took a picture, a selfie, President Trump right there. Yeah, right. I did.
You took a picture with the hat up there on the shelf that he signed.
Yep. I have a site that says, I have a hat that says Vote Dem Out.
D-E-M, one of your hats.
One of my hats created. That on my website, Vote Dem Out. And President Trump signed it.
It was the only hat he signed
that day. That's the only hat that I think that was the only one that he signed. I think he may have signed other things, but that's the only hat that I saw that he signed. But anyways, I was in the White House, and each time that I went to the White House, the security checkpoints, there were multiple security checkpoints. Multiple security checkpoints. So there was no way that I could get a substance into the White House without Secret Service knowing about it.
Because one of those checkpoints where you were telling me were actually dogs.
There's dogs that they have in a checkpoint. Yep, dogs. They have dogs all around. And to give another example, I was just in D.C. President Trump was there and I was on Media Row. And before President Trump showed up, like an hour and a half to 2 hours before President Trump showed up, they made all of the press on Media Row leave the location. Why? Because they brought in dogs to sniff the area. So, you know, if you had drugs, explosives, anything, you know, gunpowder, anything, the dogs will detect it. The dogs would detect it. So when I went to the White House twice, I had to go through security checkpoints. So there's no way that you can get in there with a drug narcotics. They have the latest technology in surveillance and checking people coming into the White House, the latest technology. So there's no way that just a common person will be able to walk into the White House with cocaine. Never would happen. Let me play the audio clip that they had, that they released, of them talking about the cocaine that they have found. The Secret Service found the cocaine. And this is the audio that they released, allegedly. Listen.
Repeat, I didn't copy your results on the Gemini.
Gemini's results are name match found with a red bar, name match found in the library. We'll go ahead and bag them. Come on up. First, the record has that we have a result on the Gemini. We have a yellow bar stating cocaine hydrochloride. Staff number 53-21-4.
So they found cocaine at the crack house, the White House. So they found cocaine there. They found cocaine. So let me show this to you, because Biden was talking to, I guess he was talking to a Swedish member that is part of NATO. And he's talking to him. And one of the people in the press asked Joe Biden about the cocaine. That is extremely embarrassing. Would you not think this embarrassing? Like, you're sitting here talking to a member of NATO, right? Another foreign leader. And the press corps is bringing up the point of you having cocaine in the White House. I mean, it's really interesting. Listen to this.
Mr. President, what makes you confident that we should have a state of the
I know it's kind of hard to hear, right? It's kind of hard to hear. And Jeremy on LFA TV, you see the hand right there on the other end? That's right after the lady. It was a lady that I could tell asked Joe Biden about the cocaine. And he's like, wow, you're going to answer that about the cocaine? And Joe Biden's response is just to laugh it off. Look, Joe Biden is probably like, look, we've committed so many other crimes.
Yeah, the question.
This is just cocaine.
That she asked was, Mr. President, do you know how cocaine got into the White House?
Yeah.
He just smiled.
Yeah, he just smiled, right? I mean, we've done so many other criminal activities, and you think cocaine being in the White House is that big of a deal?
Come on, right? Man.
I mean, really?
Come on, man. Come on, man.
I mean, really? I mean, just come out and say it like that. You think, really, 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 we've done all this criminal activity, and you think cocaine is the biggest problem here?
He didn't deny it. So, once again.
Come on, man.
All right, everybody, you can see there that the president was asked many questions, including how cocaine got into the White House, but did not answer.
Oh, but did not answer. Of course he's not going to answer. Of course not. Of course not. Same thing with Karine Jean-Pierre. Do you think Karine Jean-Pierre would answer any questions about the cocaine? And I have something else I want to share with you about the cocaine. It's a special treat. Some of y'all have already seen this and some of you haven't seen it, but I'm going to share it with you. But you just have to hold on. Now, listen to what Karine Jean-Pierre says, because, again, the press corps are actually asking these questions. You know, most of the time in the past, the press corps would be like, OK, well, we know that's really damaging. Let's ask him about ice cream. What kind of ice cream did Joe Biden have this weekend? Because, see, they were asking about Joe Biden's ice cream taste, his flavor, you know, the flavor of the month in his ice cream, because they were so happy President Trump wasn't there. So they weren't going to ask any tough questions. They're just going to ask about ice cream. But now they're talking about cocaine. Wow.
And secondly, part of the entry, go to the holiday. Can you give any more details on where the Secret Service found the cocaine in the West Wing and how it got?
So, as you know, this is under the purview of the Secret Service. They are currently investigating what happened over the weekend, so I would have to refer you to the Secret First, the Secret Service on all of this. But one thing that I can share, that I'll share a little bit more information, as you know, the President and the First Lady and their family were not here this weekend, as you all reported on this, and as you also know that they left on Friday and returned just yesterday. Where this was discovered is a heavily traveled area where many White House, West Wing, I should be even more specific, West Wing visitors come through this particular area. I just don't have anything more to share. It is under investigation by the Secret Service. This is in their purview, and so we're going to allow certainly the investigation to continue, and we have confidence that the Secret Service will get to the bottom of this. Go ahead.
We don't have anything else further to share. I don't want to talk about it anymore. We don't have anything else further to share, so don't ask me any more questions about it. We don't want to talk about it. Cocaine in the crack house. I mean, the White House. Cocaine. Now, it would be one thing if there wasn't already history. You know, you understand what I'm talking about. It would be one thing if there was not already history of Hunter Biden with his habits. And of course, the liberal media jump into action saying, well, you know what? This is a family affair. It's a family affair. Everybody has someone in their family that has some kind of drug addiction. Right? That's automatically what they go to. But I'm not even saying it's Hunter Biden's cocaine. I'm not even saying it's Hunter Biden's. But isn't it something? My point is, there's a history already with all of this cocaine, the drugs, the money, the prostitution. All of this comes with that laptop. All of it.
Don't you think that they know the history too?
They do know the history.
Yeah.
They do know the history, and they were all trying to ignore the history. You remember with the whole laptop and
Russia.
They were trying to ignore the history then. But mm-hmm. the press corps, which thank you again. And I don't know if this is something that they're going to keep up by asking valid questions. I'm only suspecting that the press corps is maybe getting to the point of like, man, we've been completely duped. We were helped to get rid of Trump, but now what did we do? What did we do? We did this to ourselves. Listen to this one, because it, again, in the press corps, they're actually asking these tough questions. And you can tell Karine Jean-Pierre, she don't want to be there talking about it.
Just clarify for us where exactly inside the West Wing the substance was discovered.
I'm not going to get into specifics. What I can say is when people visit the West Wing, there is the area of the West Wing where it is highly traveled, and that is what happens. People come through this particular area, it's highly traveled. I'm just not going to get into specifics. I'm not going to get into, not going to get ahead of the Secret Service, and so I'll let them speak to that.
There are a couple of primary entrances into the West Wing. There's the one with which we're all familiar, right outside the driveway where the Marine stands when the President's in the West Wing, and there's another entrance off West Executive Avenue. Can you explain which entrance we're talking
about? I'm going to let the Secret Service speak to that.
You see that? She doesn't want to talk about what entrance. What entrance? Which leads me to believe, because that it wasn't just someone who had to go through security checkpoint. I mean, come on, people. We're talking about cocaine, illegal substance. And the reason why this is such a big deal, because we'll be naive, and I talked about this last night briefly too. We'd be naive to think that this is the first time an illegal drug was in the crack house. I mean, the White House. This would be the first, we'll be naive to think that. The reason why it's such a big deal is because this cocaine showed up in the White House. Whoever took it in there didn't take it back out with them, or they didn't occupy it. They didn't utilize it while they were there to get rid of it, put it in the system. They didn't do that. So the Secret Service found it. They found this substance. And the reason why, again, it's a big deal, because who's to say that they wouldn't be able to get anthrax or something else in there, Right? Because they shut down the entire White House. They made everybody leave because it was a white powder substance that they didn't know what it was. And to my understanding, I've never seen it firsthand. To my understanding, anthrax looks similar. So they had no idea it could be extremely dangerous. So if that was able to get in, does that mean the Secret Service didn't do their job? Who brought it in? It's telling me, and I'm questioning it here, is telling me that somebody that had access to the White House that didn't have to go through the security checkpoints brought the cocaine in. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. Because the next clip that I'm going to share with you, they even go into that. I want y'all to listen to what they say here on MSSTD. When they're talking about the cocaine showing up in the crack house, and they're like, wow, this has never happened before. Never happened before. But yet they're talking about the cocaine in the crack house. Listen. And they're going to let something out that a lot of people haven't been paying attention to.
And turning to some breaking news, we have just learned that a formal lab has confirmed the suspicion that that white powdery substance found in the West Wing on Sunday was in fact positive for cocaine. The discovery led to a brief evacuation of the White House Sunday night. Joining us now is NBC White House correspondent Mike Memoli. So Mike, where do things stand now? This is so unusual. You and I have covered the White House for years. I can't even fathom anything like this having been found before in the West Wing. And I go back to the 70s at the White House.
You hear this? She goes back to the 70s and she never could fathom anything like this. Right? So I'm going to ask y'all, I'm going to look in the comments here in just a second. I'm going to finish playing this. Have you ever known for cocaine to show up? Like I mentioned, we'd be naive to think that it never has, but have you ever known for this to happen, where them to report that someone left the cocaine? Yes or no? Yes or no? Is this a first? Is this a first? She says she's been there since the 70s. She's never heard anything of it because they would have reported on it. So maybe it was before the 70s. You know, maybe the last time cocaine was in the White House and they didn't have an actual issue with it when they got the original Coca-Cola.
So this is pretty wild.
It's absolutely extraordinary, Andrea. And this new conclusive test confirms what had been the preliminary field test conducted by D.C. fire personnel who were called in on Sunday night after the discovery of this suspicious substance by a uniformed officer in the Secret Service that was conducting a routine patrol of the White House. And so to recap on the developments from that we've been reporting on yesterday, this was found, we understand, in a highly trafficked common area of the West Wing. It's an area where individuals, especially visitors, individuals who may be coming for instance, a private tour, might have been asked to leave some of their personal belongings before heading into more sensitive areas of the West Wing, which of course includes the president's, the vice president's office, some of the most senior officials' offices, as well as the press team and a number of deputies.
Okay, y'all hearing that? Did y'all hear that? They said people come in and they probably left some personal items in a certain location before they went to the other locations. So they had to go through what they're suggesting. They had to go through Secret Service. Whoever had the cocaine, they're suggesting that it was just somebody visiting that had the cocaine. That's what they're suggesting. And again, I went to the White House twice. There was no way. No way. They won't even allow you to have your cameras recording anything going through the checkpoint. There's multiple checkpoints to get into the White House. There's no way. They won't let you record anything. They have state of the art, the dogs, everything, checking everything, making sure everything is fine. So it was somebody again. And then just like the camera system, you know, they have the state of the art camera system there. Maybe it was just down during that time. Let me put out a theory. Let's say they know who actually did it by looking at the camera footage, you know, because they said it took place on Sunday. So now they're going to have to go back. Maybe it was just, you know, there and it's been there since, you know, before, you know, 3 days ago, before Sunday. I don't know. But let's say they look at the video footage and they come to find out, okay, it's just hypothetically speaking here, that it was Hunter Biden. Let's say it was Hunter Biden. What do you think that they're going to do? Do you think that they're going to be like, well, yeah, here it is. It was Hunter Biden that brought the cocaine in. We've already told the world that the cocaine showed up. What do you think they're going to do? Personally, they'll probably find the most conservative person in there, if there's actually such a thing in this Biden regime. They'll find somebody to pin it on. Because they cannot allow it to go with Hunter Biden. Because if it goes with Hunter Biden, that means everything that the GOP has been saying about the Biden regime is 100% true. And they can't allow that. Even though it is true what they've been saying, they can't allow it. So they have to do everything they can to prevent it. Listen to this. And also, do you think that the White House should be cooperating 100% with the Secret Service? Don't you think that they should be jumping in there head first, whatever you need? Let's find out who did this. Let's make sure this never happens again. Don't you think that should be the response? Listen to Karine Jean-Pierre as she's asked the question, is the White House working with the Secret Service?
Can you just tell us how the White House is assisting the Secret Service with this investigation? Have you made any White House officials available for interviews with law enforcement, for example?
Well, look, we're not assisting in anything.
They're not assisting in anything. I mean, the correct response should be, look, we're cooperating with them 100%. We're going to find out what's going on. How did this happen? She literally says, we're not assisting in anything. I mean, she just comes out and says it. Well, we don't care. We're not going to assist in anything. We're going to let this story blow over, essentially, is what she's saying.
For example.
Well, look, we're not assisting in anything. This is under the Secret Service purview. This is their kind of guidance and guideline, their world. And so we're going to let them do their job. We are not involved in this. This is something that the Secret Service handles. It's under their protocol. And they are going to investigate and get to the bottom of what happened this weekend.
Oh, really? We're going to get into the investigation and see what happened this weekend. Really? So we're not going to get involved. We're not going to assist. We're not going to help. We're not going to get involved or anything. But as soon as they find out, just so speaking, if they find out that it has something to do with Hunter Biden and Hunter Biden brought this substance in there, the story is going to either get buried or they're going to pin it on somebody else. Do I want to be wrong? Sure. If it's Hunter Biden, they come out with it. Say, yeah, you know what is Hunter Biden is you know what we're dealing with. He's still having a problem, still having a drug problem, even though this judge, you know, they're trying to get the Hunter Biden let off. I mean, isn't that something? Isn't it something? It's just down to me. The judge, they're trying to say, you know, make it to where Hunter Biden got the sweetheart deal. He's got the sweetheart deal. And if he's the one that brought the cocaine in the crack house, what? What? It's like the gift that keeps giving to the political realm. Let me share this first one with you. This was created 2 years ago. Watch this. Can we put it up on the screen? I want you to go to full screen with this. Go ahead and go full screen right now, and I'll start it. Look at this. Y'all see this? Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, cocaine in the Ukraine. Check it out.
Who you trying to mess with, Ese? Don't you know who my daddy is?
That Hunter Biden was trading on his father's office to make 50 grand a month from the Ukrainians. In October, he admitted it.
It's the fact that you were the son of the most person. What role do you think that played?
I think that it is impossible for me to be on any of the boards that I just mentioned without saying that I'm the son of the Vice President of the United States.
Son of Joe Biden, and boy, it's tough. I put the crack in the pipe and smoke it up. I like every day I'm freaking, laptop leaking, pictures of me on a cocaine vendor. Quick pro Joe got me working in the Ukraine gas company directing. The only thing I know about gas, you can huff it. Now I got 50K a month in my pocket. For the directors, Burisma, I'm smashing. My dead brother's widow impregnated a stripper. But nothing is better than crack cocaine when you're rich and famous in the Ukraine. Cocaine in the Ukraine.
Cocaine in Ukraine.
Cocaine in the Ukraine.
Cocaine straight to the brain.
Cocaine in the Ukraine.
Cocaine in Ukraine.
Cocaine in the Ukraine.
Cocaine straight to the brain.
Cocaine in the Ukraine. That's really good. That was 2 years ago. It's 2 years ago, and it's still relevant today. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? I wish I could just play that on YouTube and Facebook. I should be able to, but they won't let me because they don't like to see the truth, especially with us making fun of them like that, right? They don't like to see that. They don't like it. Look, they're the ones doing it. We talk about it. We share it, but they're the ones doing it and they're mad at us. Make it make sense. Make it make sense, right? They don't like the fact that we're talking about the evil things that they're doing. But yet they're doing it. Just like this one here. Here's another one. And I started talking about this in tonight's broadcast. 4th of July. 4th of July. And of course, the left, they hate 4th of July. They hate our independence. And you get stupid black people like this going out there and doing this to the American flag. This is what the radical left is loving.
2, 3, 4.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Slavery, genocide, and war.
Slavery, genocide, and war.
5, 6, 7, 8.
5, 6, 7, 8.
America was never great.
America was never great.
America was never great.
America was never great.
Revolution, nothing less.
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 Man, this like, let's just rip that, yo. There you go. America is nothing to celebrate. There you go. That's why we are here. Because the crimes.
Look what they're doing.
That this.
So they're carrying the flag up. The United States American flag.
They make it so hard to rip that up or burn that up because they swear that it's a sacred symbol. And on this day, on July 4th, when you're told to wave your American flag and to display it in pride and to be so proud to be an American, we are here to disrespect this flag.
You hear this?
Because it does not represent the interests of humanity. And for all the reasons we've been talking about today, that it has the blood of the people of the world.
Y'all see that? That flag represents the freedom that those stupid black people have. And that's what's really mind-blowing.
And I just want to say, America...
It represents the freedom.
And she said around the world, America has helped more countries and still do today than any other country.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, what she said is totally wrong. The narrative is wrong, but they promote this and people go, oh yeah, that's right.
Exactly.
And it's not.
It's not right. But they, you know, I remember when I used to live in California and I would go out into the corner and I would wave the American flag. And I got a lot of people give me the thumbs up. I lived in a pretty much conservative. It wasn't like in the major cities. So I lived out in the rural area and people give me a lot of thumbs up. But then every now and then somebody come by and tell me that I'm number one. Right. They come by and tell me I'm number one. I'm just waving them the American flag. I used to do it all the time out there by myself. By myself, I would do it. No issues doing it. I need to do that again. I need to do that again, Shannon. I need to do that again. But people used to get upset because I was waving the American flag, which doesn't make any sense. I'm in the United States of America. And these stupid black people that I just showed you, that's ripping up the flag and they're talking about it's hard to rip it up and hard to burn it because it's strong. It represents strength. Why are they even in America? If America is that bad, buy a one-way ticket back to Africa. And I said back to Africa. They probably never even been to Africa. But buy a one-way ticket. I was on Instagram and this dude, you know, upset with me because I love America and he's trying to tell me America has never been for black people and America's always been racist. And this black dude's in America. So I went and looked up how much it costs for a one-way ticket to Africa. And I told him it's $450. And on his Instagram, he got pictures of him in his car and stuff. I said, sell your car. Surely you can get $400, $450, buy your one-way ticket to Africa, and don't look back. That is the answer. That is the solution. But they don't want to hear any of that. They don't want to hear any of that. They want to change what the United States of America is to their demonic, sinister ways. That's all that they're looking for. And one of the ways that they want to change everything is with this DEI. This DEI has been infiltrated into all of the businesses, majority of the businesses in the United States of America. And interestingly enough, a lot of these companies are letting the DEI, are they what, DEI executives, Shannon, that they're bringing in? Consultants or stuff, something like that?
Yep, DEI consultants. They're executives that they hire.
Okay, so they're bringing in DEI executives, and now these companies have been letting them go because when you start losing billions of dollars, you got to do some dramatic changes.
I actually have an article on it.
You have an article on it? Okay.
Hold on.
If we can put the article on this on the screen real quick. Let me play some of this real quick with Laura Ingraham when she's actually talking about this with the DEI.
Diversity Inc. is a flim-flam network of mostly untalented people who figured out a way to make big bucks from a weak-kneed business community and, of course, all those school administrators. All told, they spend billions of dollars annually to measure and grow their diversity, equity, and inclusion compliance and then train their employees in so-called DEI speak. Workshops include ridiculous cartoonish presentations. And when I say cartoonish, I mean it.
Let's talk about some tips on implementing cultural diversity in the workplace. The most important piece to cultural diversity is that it widens your talent pool.
Come to think of it, well, is Alex a boy or a girl?
Actually, Alex doesn't define themselves as boy or girl.
Here are a couple of examples of what respectfully calling out sounds like. I need you to stop right there. That goes against our values. It sounds like you're making some assumptions that aren't supported by experience or fact.
They tell us that all men are created equal despite what is actually reinforced by everyday interactions. Like the classic example of a white woman who guards her purse in the elevator when a black man enters.
Wow. What, exactly. See the expression, wow. Not everybody white that's get a white woman gets on the elevator clenches a purse. Right. I've been on the elevator plenty of times and there's a white woman already on the elevator and I get on the elevator. She's not clenching her purse. I say, hey, how you doing? And we start. Sometimes we have a conversation. Sometimes we don't. And you notice in the cartoon, everyone that is bad were white. You can take it off the screen. Everybody that's on there was bad was white. It's ridiculous. Show the article real quick before we get out
of here. It says top DEI execs from Disney to Netflix exit sparks criticism of their lack of effectiveness in Hollywood. That is right. A recent string of high-profile exits in Hollywood is fueling questions whether backlash towards the leftist diversity push has reached the entertainment industry. This is Disney's chief diversity officer. She was let go last week.
She was fired.
You got Netflix, diversity.
Fired.
And then also Warner Brothers.
Fired.
Diversity exec.
Fired. Pushing all the wokeism. Get out. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. We are at the end of the broadcast. Well, if you haven't already, please share this. No matter how you're watching this or listening to this, please share this right now. Do it right now. I really do appreciate it. All right. Everybody, thank you so much for being with us. My name is Will Johnson, and we just talked about it.
Looks like you've been sleeping well.
Megan, he's back. The MyPillow guy.
And you're looking good.
Still feeling good.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, we've got the best pillow ever, MyPillow 2.0. When I invented MyPillow, it had everything you'd ever want in a pillow. Well, now there's new technology that makes it even better. MyPillow 2.0 has my patented fill combined with a cooling fabric with temperature regulating thread. MyPillow 2.0 is truly the next generation of MyPillow.
The best sleep just got even better. Whether you have a MyPillow or not, you need to get the brand new MyPillow 2.0. Call or go to MyPillow.com now. Use your promo code, and for a limited time when you buy one, you'll get a second one absolutely free.
You're sleeping even better.
And cooler, too.
And you're looking good.
Feeling good.
I knew you would.
Visit MyPillow.com.
When our leaders start telling us that there's going to be a global food crisis, even here in the U.S., now it's time to act. My Patriot Supply is by far one of the best preparedness companies that you can use and rely on. Act now while supplies last, because you don't know when the shelves are going to be empty. This kit provides breakfast, lunch, dinner, drinks, and snacks, totaling over 2,000 calories a day. Go to preparewithuaf.com while supplies last. Let me emphasize on that. Preparewithuaf.com while supplies last. Do it today.